What's up, everybody? This is your host, Desi Saran. And today we're going to talk about the state of the restaurant economy. It is now almost September of 2020, where most of the United States was hit by the pandemic mid-March. I can remember almost the exact date, around March 16th, when Governor Murphy gave an executive order to basically shut down the state. And like many, many other restaurants and small businesses, and especially retail, we saw sales drops of 20%, 30%, 40%. I think by day three or four, we had lost about 70, 80% of our revenue. You know, mind you, around that time, there was a lot of panic and uncertainty. And I think for a lot of people in the United States, we didn't know if the coronavirus or COVID-19 was really a thing. And I think that these lockdowns and restrictions early on was a rude awakening for the United States. And we weren't well prepared. I can tell you from a small business perspective, you know, we didn't really have a plan in place. And I don't think a lot of even medium-sized to large companies had plans in place for this, where most people don't know with restaurants just in general, most restaurants only carry between a week to a month's cash on hand. Now, what does that mean? You know, restaurants already operate at very low margins. And to give you an idea of the economics here, most full-service restaurants, full-service meaning that the restaurant employs waiters, hosts, busboys, cooks, right? They have a lot of staff, a lot of overhead. An average full-service restaurant, their profit margin could be anywhere between 4% to, you know, maybe 10% on the high side. If you look at averages, it's probably about 5 to 6%. Now think about that. Think about how low of a margin that is, right? And think about your favorite restaurant or favorite even high-end restaurant that you go to. There's probably a lot of overhead, very high real estate, very high rental costs, and a lot of staff to pay. Depending on where you do business as well, if you're doing business in New Jersey and also New York, you can have really high costs. You know, we're talking about very high minimum wages, higher taxes, even cost of goods. So for these full service restaurants that are operating at 5 to 6%, you know, if we do a quick calculation, really good restaurant that's, let's say, doing $100,000 a month or a little over $1 million in sales and revenue for the entire year, if they're doing 5% of net income or profit margin, they're bringing in $50,000 for the year. It's really not a lot. Now, we would hope that particular restaurant is paying everybody, paying the owners, everybody's on a salary, and that's after everything's all said and done. So historically, restaurants have always operated at a very low profit margin. Now, if we look at other models, such as fast casual or quick service, where there are no waiters, right? Think of Chipotle. You go in, you order your food, you're out. Quick service to fast casual restaurants operate at a little bit higher. I would say anywhere between 10 to 12%. You know, I think 15% and up is very good. If you can eclipse 20% or operate at higher than 20% EBITDA, I think you're in really, really good shape and you have a winning concept. And, you know, a lot of it probably has to do with location as well, too. You know, our units operate anywhere between those ranges, anywhere between 5% to 20%. And it depends. Now, let's go back to cash on hand, right? So if a restaurant is carrying, you know, 7 weeks to a month of cash on hand and all of their sales drop, they're toast, right? Think of a full service restaurant that makes 5% profit margin. And when a pandemic or government restrictions hit, they lose all of their sales, up to 50%, 60%, 70%. Within a few days, they've ran out of cash. And, you know, we certainly went through that scenario too with a lot of our locations. We started this year off with 20 operating restaurants across 7 states. And during that first week of the pandemic, you know, that first week around March 16th, we end up temporarily shutting down 13 locations, those being corporate stores. And the reason that we had to do that was because the sales dramatically dropped. And this was something unprecedented that nobody could have foreseen. And I think that we, as long as other restaurants and businesses around the United States, we weren't prepared for it. Now what happens is, as those numbers drop, we look at our financials and say, we can't sustain this. You know, if sales have dropped and they're sustaining at this rate, negative 50%, 40%, even 30%, it's not sustainable. Now think about a restaurant that does 10% profit margin on average, right? And think about how the pandemic has hit that business or the economy. And that restaurant is probably losing negative 10, negative 20% right away. They're not profitable. Now, if things don't adjust, such as their rent or other operating expenses, they won't be able to keep the lights on. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand is the economics of restaurant. It's very tight. And this is why we're seeing so many restaurant closures and bankruptcies. You know, if you have gigantic food and beverage and restaurant companies such as Starbucks closing 400 locations, McDonald's closing 200 locations. I just read that Ruby Tuesday's closing 125 of their 400 locations, right? So it's about 25%, maybe a little bit more of all of their locations. These numbers are staggering, and it's also scary. There's a lot of data that's pointing out that by the end of this year, 25 to 33% of restaurants will close. That is a staggering and crazy amount of closures. When they say that the restaurant industry is in trouble or it's extinct, it's not an exaggeration. For those of you that are listening that are not restaurateurs, support your local businesses. Support your restaurants, support your retail, support your gyms. For those of you that are restaurateurs, keep your head up, keep fighting. That's all we can do. It's not over. We gotta be smart, and it's not gonna end anytime soon. So what actually transpired between March to the end of August to date in the US economy and restaurants? I think initially early on, there was a ton of uncertainty. Nobody really knew what to do. I remember the first few weeks of the pandemic, not knowing what the future would hold. We had temporarily shut down 13 out of our 20 locations, and we didn't know if this thing would last a couple weeks, a few weeks, a couple months, and we didn't know how long the lockdowns would last, right? And you couple that with a lot of hysteria and people not knowing how bad the virus was, and people were getting sick. Now, always, public safety should come first, right? And I think, you know, that March and April was a really crazy time, not just for restaurant, but for everybody in general, with the amount of people that were sick, that were dying, the hospitals being overrun, and nobody wanting to leave their house. Everybody was kind of petrified. You know, this spurred a lot of changing the way that we do business, but also changing the way that we live our daily lives, right? We saw a lot of companies having to pivot and entirely work from home. I'm a big believer of working from home myself. We don't have a office. All of our corporate employees have always worked from home. And I think that this changed the way that how we have to do business. It forced it, right? There was a lot of changes that were happening over the past 5 to 10 years. And I truly believe that, unfortunately, because of this pandemic, it did expedite technology and it changed the way that we do things, right? So we saw a significant spike in e-commerce. People were at home spending a lot more time on their cell phones and their tablets and their screens, right? If you look at a lot of studies and statistics, you can probably see that, you know, the average person at home spends between 6 to 8 hours a day, that's an entire workday, in front of a screen, a computer, a tablet, a cell phone. And you think about that, that's staggering. How much of that time is spent on social media, right? People are now on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and it's where a lot of people are getting their news and their information. So what we saw happening in the past 6 months or so was a flood of political news, political information, you know, hitting us from every single angle. And today it's still happening with it being an election year and this pandemic happening. You know, this was the perfect storm of events for this kind of like apocalyptic sequence of events that have been happening, which have spurted deaths in our country, people being sick, complete lockdowns of states and cities, right, which is devastating businesses, you know, and it's increasing unemployment. I don't remember the last time we've seen unemployment rates so high and unemployment claims. Now, what does that mean? This also means that these businesses that are running, that are shutting down, it's creating also permanent job loss. So now that these people that are unemployed, they cannot go back and get jobs, right? So it's this domino effect that's continuing. And I think early on that there was a lot of talk and optimism about a very quick recovery, a V-shaped recovery, right? And I've actually studied economics. That was my major. And to me, as time went on, and now it's almost September of 2020, I really don't see it possible for us to have a V-shaped economy. I think that our government tried, and their only solution and option was printing money, or as we call it, quantitative easing, or the current or modern version of it. They call it modern monetary policy, where the Fed literally prints money and they inject it into where it needs to go, such as states. And I truly believe that this is what they need to do. And we're at a juncture right now where Congress is debating about the upcoming HEROES Act, which should cover evictions, unemployment, and liability from coronavirus. Let's say you're an employer and your employee gets sick and gets the coronavirus. I believe what they're trying to pass would cover you from an employee suing you for getting the coronavirus, which is good. But lastly, particularly for small businesses, we're all waiting on this HEROES Act. And this HEROES Act would inject more money into small businesses. From what I understand, there is a Paycheck Protection Plan program, PPP, round two. And from the looks of it, even if you were able to get a loan from the PPP from round one, you could still be eligible for round two and apply for it. And it looks like there's probably certain thresholds of how much business you have lost in the past 6 months or so. We'll know more in the next upcoming weeks when this starts to get more clear. So our Congress people have to come together. I do believe that they're out on recess until after Labor Day. If I were to estimate the timeline, I think they'll come back. They'll go back and forth about the stimulus. From what I understand, the Republicans had offered $1 trillion. The Democrats had countered back with $3 trillion. And now they need to meet in the middle somewhere. But if it is passed, my estimate is that it will be in sometime in September. It will take a couple weeks or so before we can start applying. I would estimate that small businesses that are qualified should be able to apply hopefully in October. And this process is a lot more streamlined, especially with the banks. Early on with the first round of PPP, it was just nobody knew what was going on. The banks, people that were applying, it was just really a free-for-all. So hopefully this is a lot more streamlined. It's a lot easier. and our Congress is able to get money to our people in terms of stimulus and unemployment extensions, and also money to small businesses, because we need it more than ever right now. You know, I think every small business, medium-sized business, even large businesses, they needed money yesterday, last week. So I think that Congress kind of dropped the ball here, where if this does pass, we won't see this money until October or November. When we go and apply, who knows how long it will take to get funded, or even if you get approved for that. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I think that the HEROES Act will get passed, and this is what they need to do. They have to do. There's no way around this. Everybody needs money. But for anybody that's listening, any small business that's listening, I would be prepared. I would do your due diligence. I would know exactly what you're getting into. And remember those times where we applied for some of these loans and programs, you had to get up really early and make sure that you were, you know, first in line, because a lot of times it was first come, first serve. But the moral of the story here, small businesses need money. And for all you restaurateurs out there, all you business owners, I think this will be the last stimulus. It may be the last stimulus, big one for a while. There will be more smaller loans and programs out there. But for those of you that need it, make sure that you do your due diligence. You know what to do in order to apply to increase your chances of getting this aid, and use it to get through the winter. Because you know, what I'm seeing is a decline, a negative drop of negative 10 to 20% of retail sales. And that's probably going to continue to increase throughout wintertime. You take a look at all the events that happened, the amount of people that are unemployed, the amount of job loss, the amount of businesses that have shut down, coupled with going into winter, where people leave their house is less. And, you know, this election coming up, and also COVID-19, who knows if we'll have a virus, if we'll have a virus anytime soon. I would suspect that we're going to enter a very, very cold winter. So buckle up, folks. Winter's coming. So what do we do now that summer's over? We're about 6 months into this. And depending where you are, especially if you're in New Jersey, New York, you're in the New York metro area, it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight, right? For a lot of restaurants, we're coming out of season. Usually with our business, we are in season until end of September. And the sales dramatically change, and they drop between October to March. And it all depends on the weather, right? We've had a particularly hot summer. You know, I've been doing this for about 7 years now, so I really, really look at the weather and I look at patterns. We didn't get a lot of rain. We had a really, really hot summer, a lot of humidity. Hopefully it's an Indian summer where it'll extend out to end of September, and we can stretch out our sales. You know, but with everything that's going on, things can change every single day. So this is one of my first years where, you know, you really can't tell what's going to happen. I could tell you prior that I could predict my sales. I could forecast my sales, and I might be off maybe a 5, 10%. You know, usually the deviation is about 5%, pretty spot on. And it depends on the weather. But now we're in an era where there are so many factors that are affecting each individual location, right? So as I discussed, we have to shut down 5 of our locations permanently. And some of those locations were in prominent areas in our flagship stores. But guess what? Those are in more metro areas where they've gotten hit harder. Our flagship store in Jersey City, we knew that we couldn't open back up, right? And when we wanted to, this was probably around June, our staff didn't want to come back to work. You know, that area, Jersey City, got hit really hard with COVID. You couple that with the loss in sales, people not going out, people really scared. It didn't make sense to open up. We knew that we would bleed out and bleed money. And sadly, this is the scenarios that a lot of business owners, retail and restaurant, that we're going through. You know, people always ask about, what about outdoor dining? What about delivery? You know, it's not enough. I covered the economics of a restaurant, the slim profit margin. So no matter how much delivery that you're doing or outdoor dining, the pure math of it is if that restaurant has lost 10 to 20 to 30% of sales, it's just not going to work. They're going to bleed. They're going to lose money. And especially if the landlords are not working with the tenants, right? So, you know, let's give another example. Let's say a restaurant does $50,000 a month and their profit is, call it 10%. Think about that. On 50 grand in sales, you know, the restaurant is making 5 grand in profit a month. It's very, very slim, right? Now, let's say the pandemic hits and they've lost 30% of their business. That's $15,000. Now that restaurant is operating at $35,000 in sales and they're negative, right? Their break-even point was probably 40,000, right around there. So if you think about it now, a lot of places, a lot of restaurants are still bleeding out. They're losing money. I think, you know, a lot of the data that I'm reading and a lot of the research that I'm looking at shows that retail is down 10 to 20%. I think that number is going to continue to fall, continue to drop. Now, again, this is going to be survival of the fittest, right? As businesses close and restaurants close, there is an opportunity for your restaurant, for your chain, for your business to absorb some of the other business, right? But you have to do it smart. You have to do it carefully. And there's a lot of factors that are not in our favor right now. And especially if you have the government restricting how you do business, right? So a majority of our stores are in New Jersey. We have not had indoor dining since March. Zero indoor dining. I think that a lot of people are kind of used to it. And fortunately for us, we have been able to adapt to that. Okay, so people are still coming into the restaurant, but they're taking it to go. They are ordering online, ordering through our app, picking it up to go. They're ordering third-party delivery. We've never done delivery in-house. We've only done third-party. We use the big four: DoorDash, Postmates, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. Now, those services are great to get new customers. They're great to put out your product, to generate some sales, but it's very expensive. If you are an independent chain, independent operator, or a small chain like me with 20 restaurants or less, you're still paying the full commission, which is around 30%. I think a lot of operators that I personally speak to and restaurateurs, they don't even check their statements. I checked my Grubhub statement recently, and with all their marketing fees, they took out about 45%. I was left with 55% of the revenue. So think about that. These third-party delivery companies are taking out a big chunk, right? And it's kind of like, it's almost like a necessary evil that you need to have these third-party delivery channels. You know, there's pros and cons about it, and we can save that for another discussion where we don't have to hire our own delivery drivers. There's no liability. As a restaurateur, we know that to hire a driver, your insurance will skyrocket, right? So it is a nice benefit to have these third-party delivery channels. It's kind of like being on Amazon, right? You create your listing, you put your menu up, and magically the orders come in. Don't get me wrong, I love that. I mean, it's fantastic. I love it for new customer acquisition. But, you know, the cost doesn't justify it. And, you know, we can discuss the economics of that, and we will. But that being said, with delivery doesn't make up for it. In fact, you know, if you look at your mixed breakdown, I think prior to COVID, we were doing about 50 to 60% dine-in, right? People would come. Most of our locations are located in plazas. They would go to the gym, go to the grocery store, go get their haircut, come get a bowl or a product from Sweetberry, our place, right? People aren't coming out anymore. So that 50 to 60% dine-in has shrunk dramatically. That has transitioned into pickup. And thankfully, we were able to adapt. And a lot of our customers are ordering online, they're ordering through our app, or they're using delivery. But again, that being said, that does not make up for the loss in indoor dining, right? And depending on what your concept is or what the business is, I'm sure, you know, any brick and mortar, any retail, that's what you depend on. That's what we depend on. That's why it's brick and mortar. Our entire business, it revolves around customers coming in through the door. And it's funny that I've been looking at that data since last year, prior to COVID. And I think a study I looked at last year was that a little over 50%, right? So let's call it 52, 55% of all restaurant transactions happen off-premise. So it doesn't even happen in the restaurant anymore, which is kind of mind-blowing if you think about it, right? So what is off-premise? Off-premise means any restaurant transaction that does not happen on-premise or inside the restaurant. So that can include online orders, pickup phone orders, any delivery order, whether it's in-house or third-party through DoorDash, Grubhub, catering, drive-through, right? These are all mechanisms or methods where the food is being traveled to the customer, or the food is being delivered to the customer somehow and the customer is not entering the restaurant, right? So because of COVID, because of this, I really think this expedited a lot of technology, right? We're seeing a lot of curbside delivery being implemented, or curbside pickup. And I think that we had the technology and we had the mechanisms. And in one aspect, it's good that we had Uber, DoorDash, Grubhub, because people could get their food conveniently, fast, right? But this has significantly changed the way we were doing business now. And when we look at last year and we looked at the design of a restaurant, we were seeing smaller and smaller real estate, right? Now think about it. As a restaurant, if over 50% of your business does not walk into the restaurant anymore, you don't need bigger dining space, right? You don't need to spend more on square footage and real estate, and you can significantly cut your rents down. In fact, you know, rent is such a large cost in a restaurant, right? So we were seeing smaller and smaller restaurant sizes, and we were seeing restaurants and designs and concepts optimized for off-premise, right? Being optimized for delivery and pickup. You know, you walk into a restaurant, there's a station where you can pick up your food and it's ready for you. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future as this progresses. I think this changed the entire industry for good. And it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of restaurants will adapt. Right. I know that people say that this is an opportunity, right? Where any type of crisis, there's always an opportunity. And I agree with that. And I agree that with everything that's happening, it's destroying the real estate market, especially commercial real estate. And what's happening right now is that a lot of tenants are defaulting. They can't pay the rent, right? It puts the landlords in a bad situation and they're in trouble where they can't pay their mortgages, they can't pay the banks. And what this is going to do is it's going to significantly drive down the real estate costs, where I think real estate prices were high, especially in New Jersey, the New York area, New York City, the real estate was astronomical. right? So as prices drive down, there's definitely opportunity for opportunities to come in and get really, really low rents and lock that in for a long time. From what I understand, and I've spoken to larger QSR brands, larger, you know, big thousands of chain, thousands of locations where they're only looking at drive-through right now, right? So a lot of the data is suggesting that customers want drive-through, they want that convenience, they want to get out of their house. So it's really interesting to see how this has affected consumer preference, where they still like their delivery, they still think that delivery is expensive, they still want to be able to get out of their house, and especially after this, customers still want to be able to socialize and experience things, right? But drive-thrus, I think, are going to be something that we should all look out for. And if you're a restaurateur, looking into that or even transitioning into curbside. So let me know your thoughts. You know, this is going to be a long and ongoing thing. I'd love to have different people on the show and discuss these topics. If you have any questions or concerns or you need any help with anything, you just have questions, you can ping me. You can email us at info@restaurantinnovation.com. Again, that's info@restaurantinnovation.com.